and we have to stop the podcast off of that because I rolled my eyes so hard that I popped a freaking blood vessel. So I give you credit for that, and I understand now why, in the face of all of this evidence that T.J. Watt would have been the better choice, you're not trying to hear it. I get that.
Yeah, that's not what we do. We leave that for the Twitter GMs, sir. We leave that for the Twitter GMs. Well, and I was really hoping you weren't one of those guys, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Not only am I a member, I'm also the Hair Club president.
It's a crush that you had. She walked away with another guy, and you're still sending her emails and text messages, and you're camped out in her bushes. She don't want you, man. That is the kind of thought process that got the Cowboys in trouble when Gold Jacket Jerry refused to release the reins and become
How
a brain trust.
How dare, like, you compare those two situations?
What up, though, Pat?
What up, though, Katie?
Man, it's time for another outstanding, exhilarating, and awesome episode of Catch This Fade podcast. You know what it is. I am your host, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And of course, that is my man, $5,000, $100,000. My man, Patrick Walker, is here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, voice of the star.
What's up, everybody? KD tried to short me all the way down to $5,000. I don't know if it's, you know, because I didn't pick his kids up from school like I promised to today. But, you know, things happen. What's going on, brother?
Man, you know what it is. We got to sit here and discuss what the latest and greatest thing, the latest and greatest debate, I should say, on the Cowboys agenda. And honestly, I'm sick of talking to Ezekiel Elliott. We hammered that to death. We told people what it was. We explained everything to them. And lo and behold, all of that came to fruition. So we're past that. We moved on past Ezekiel Elliott, even though the court case is still going on. What I want to talk about was the discussion that happened during the day on Sunday on Twitter that kind of got you in a little bit of a male tiz, because my man Pat was ready to throw blows online, and you'll never see Pat get upset, but these people got under your skin, and I have to tell you, I agree with them. TJ Watt was the choice, and we can still talk about it all we want to.
No, you cannot, because you have to move on. Pre-draft lust is all well and good. We all have our favorites. We all have who we want the team to pick. Everyone who's been following me for a while already knows that the 2016 draft, I led with Jalen Ramsey. That was pretty much my pet cat all the way up until about a month or so before the draft, when the whispers got louder from within the Cowboys organization that it could be Zeke. It was going to be a 50-50 split. But we didn't pick Jalen. I moved on. So why can't you guys let go of TJ Watt?
Because TJ Watt was the right choice. And I said on Twitter, I said, we're not going to call him TJ Watt. It's going to be TW John. So that way you can't filter it out. Yeah, you mute. How you going to mute a brother? That's inconceivable right there. You need to go ahead and take this fire because, yes, I know. Let's give the people some background, first of all. Because in the draft process, I identified TJ Watt very early in the year. And at that time, he was just seen as a third or a fourth round pick. And I saw the kind of potential. Shout out to my man Joey Ikes, who I believe was the first person to really say that he saw TJ Watt as being what he could be. So I examined him and I was like, yeah, third, fourth round, I'm definitely in on this dude. And then obviously, just like all the rest of my pet cats, Jimmy Garoppolo and Jonathan Cooper and some of the other names of the past, they all started to rise up. Aaron Donald, they all started to rise up the draft board to the point that, okay, well, I wasn't the only one that saw this guy as being a great value at what he was projected at. So TJ Watt eventually came into the conversation as being one of the best pass rushing prospects in the draft. Now, I honed in on him, but at the same time, Pat honed in on Taco Charlton. I know back when you did your first mock draft, Taco Charlton was your choice at number 28, wherever that was that we drafted.
Yeah,
it wasn't 32.
Yes, it was 28.
So I give you credit for that, and I understand now why, in the face of all of this evidence that TJ Watt would have been the better choice, you're not trying to hear it. I get that.
It had nothing to do with, you know, what's perceived as the better choice, whatever. And we all know it. Primarily, it's about fit, scheme fit, for the most part, right? So we're looking at talents and skill set. And I've never been one. You'll never find a receipt where I said pre-draft that Taco Charlton had a better skill set than T.J. Watt, or that he had a higher ceiling. But what I did do was cite health concerns from T.J. Watt, which you have to concede are very valid.
Yes.
Right? So you have health concerns from T.J. Watt. And then the Cowboys themselves weren't necessarily so that he could drop down on a 4-3 edge and put his hand in the dirt. That's also a valid concern. Now, in Pittsburgh, he's doing well. However, hindsight, that's not what we do. We leave that for the Twitter GMs, sir. We leave that for the Twitter GMs. Well, and I was really hoping you weren't one of those guys, but I don't know, man.
Not only am I a member, I'm also the hair club president. Because, bruh, I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to carry this torch because I don't see any reason why being somebody that I find myself let me backtrack. I proclaim myself to be...
Yeah, you do that a lot, so go ahead.
I proclaim myself to be rather knowledgeable of how things work. So when I make a stance about somebody, when I come out publicly in support of somebody, I don't do it willy-nilly. I have conviction with what I say. I believed that T.J. Watt is one of the best prospects from a loaded draft class at defensive end. And when it all came down to it, he, to a T, fit exactly the profile that the Cowboys have wanted out of their defensive ends in the past. He is the exact same size as DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. He's actually has about 10 pounds on Randy Gregory. You know, ever since I started podcasting, people have been asking me for advice. A lot of times, they'll ask me about which sports teams to bet on. Can you imagine that people were actually asking about whether or not they should fade these 4 points they were giving the Giants in the matchup on Sunday night? Of course I told them what to do and that the Cowboys were going to win that one going away, which they did. If there's one thing I've learned, though, it's that where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I've always sent folks to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their reputation is rock solid. They offer 100% cash bonuses, so right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, man, it only takes 2 business days to get paid. You know who's going to win, right? So lay down those bets with MyBookie and turn that knowledge into cash today. Now look, you know, KD, I would never recommend a service that hasn't been good to me. That's why I'm urging all of you to make your way to MyBookie now. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. All on an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with a bonus of up to 100%. Just use the promo code CSR to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today with code CSR. You play, you win, you get paid. Now, I will say this. I spent all weekend defending my article on CowboysWire.com that Jason Garrett is a great coach.
Yes, as
he is 29-6 in his last 35 games when he's had a franchise quarterback that they intended to finish the game. I'm throwing out the Philly game, the end of the season. They never intended for their quarterbacks to finish that, so that doesn't count. But outside of that, going back to 2014 when Romo went 12-3, then 3-1 in 2015 before he was, or both of the times before he was injured, and then what happened with Dak going 13-2 last year, 29-6. So I have the utmost faith, taking on all comers, that JG is a great coach, just waiting on his postseason accolades.
As you should.
But JG was the one that vetoed T.J. Watt.
Well, that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, just because I think he's a great guy.
We don't. He is the one that vetoed. He actually agreed with you. He said to the scouts who went on the profile that Rod Marinelli has asked them to scout all offseason throughout the collegiate season, they were operating under the impression that Rod Marinelli wanted somebody in that mold. The Cowboys' right defensive end mold is all about getting the guy that looks like a 3-4 outside linebacker. That's what they do.
Yes.
And the scouting department acknowledged that T.J. Watt had the best athletic profile and best upside of guys that fit that mold. And then when it came down to draft, in the draft room, Jason Garrett banged the table and said, no, I want that big behemoth of a man to be my right defensive end. And I don't know if he had Rod Marinelli's blessing or not, but JG is a head coach, and that's what went to. But please don't ever believe that T.J. Watt did not fit the same mold that the Cowboys scouting staff was told to go out and get.
Well, listen, to that point, all valid. Here's my counterpoint. I never once said that he never fit. I said that they had concerns. Right. So let's I know it seems like semantics, but you and I both know it's not actually semantics. Right.
Oh, OK.
They simply had concerns about his ability to put his hand in the dirt. Now, this is the same team that worked him out. And if they worked him out and met with him and still walked away with those concerns, who am I to then turn around and say, oh, well, you're wrong. So I have to respect JG's take on that. But also keep in mind, and here's where I empathize with you, TJ Waters. Right. Here's where I empathize, because like you mentioned a few moments ago, I did, in fact, mock Taco Charlton to the Cowboys at the 28th overall pick in my first ever 2016 mock draft.
2017.
However,
that's OK.
Although I mocked him there, he was not my pet cat. You know who my pet cat was? Tekarist McKinley out of UCLA. Broke my heart when Atlanta jumped the Cowboys to make sure that the Cowboys did not get McKinley, which they fully intended to do.
Yep.
That being said, I've already moved on to the point where out, just like Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville, now to Carson McKinley in Atlanta. I can compartmentalize and wish them well and want to see them succeed because those were my guys. The problem I have with the TJ Waters is that I just feel like you guys are going to start covering the Steelers very soon because you just can't let them go. I need you to just let them go, man.
See, there goes that bush.
It's a crush that you had. She walked away with another guy, and you're still sending her emails and text messages, and you're camped out in her bushes. She don't want you, man. She gone.
See, that's a horrible analogy because, A, that has never happened to me a day in my life, and, B, she didn't walk away. She didn't walk away.
No, I said she walked away with another guy.
Right. She didn't even walk away with another guy. She was smuggled in a box like Tyrion Lannister off to freaking Dorne. I don't even want to hear this garbage. She went to Essos, okay? That's what happened. She's all the way over there in Essos.
I didn't say she went willingly.
Okay.
I said she went.
All right, as long as we're not talking about that being an option that, you know, we could have. Anyway, so my point here is this. I believe in T.J. Watt as a player, as a prospect in the league. I did not believe in Taco Charlton. I do understand what the Cowboys were thinking. After the pick happened, I understood. I looked back at what happened in 2016. Remember, the Cowboys started Jack Crawford at multiple games at right defensive end.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
The elephant defensive line, where they basically have four guys who could all slide inside and play defensive tackle, that seems to be what they would like to do. They want guys with pass rush moves, but are big enough to be able to stop the run so they can let their linebackers flow to the ball and all of the stuff that falls downhill from there.
Agreed.
I get that mentality, but when my man Don Ray did the ultimate athletic profile, Taco Charlton was so unimpressive as a defensive end. He's a monster if you're projecting his measurables against defensive tackles.
Right, right,
but he was, my God, he is by far the most athletic three tech on the Cowboys roster, and we all know what Malik Collins is. So that goes to show you how good athletically he is for a guy his size. But as a defensive end, he is just average athletically, and that's not a right defensive end that I need. There's no way that you can see Taco Charlton as the lifelong right defensive end based on everything we know about how the NFL operates.
Here's where I agree and don't agree. Right?
Okay.
I agree with you in the aspect of he's going to have a challenge trying to discern and set himself aside or apart from the field as being the definitive starting right defensive end for the Cowboys for a couple reasons. Right now, he's already behind Tyrone Crawford. Right. Tyrone Crawford had a solid season opener against the New York Giants. Next week, week three against the Arizona Cardinals, DeMontre Moore returns.
Yep.
Two games after that, David Irvin returns.
Yep.
So he's got his work cut out for him. That being said, though, the part I disagree with is I have ultimate respect for, you know, pre-draft projections, analysis, you know, spider graphs. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm right there with you. You know, we do it every year, brother, every year. Mm-hmm. That being said, every single year, there's more than one guy who proves all of the projections wrong. My question is, why can't Taco Charlton be that guy? And why must knee-jerk reactions change from week to week? Because going into the preseason, it was, oh, we, you know, why didn't we get T.J. Watt? Charlton had a couple good preseason games. All of a sudden, he was DeMarcus Ware. He had a negligible season opener. Now we're back on T.J. Watt. No, you can't do that. That robs yourself. It cannibalizes your own credibility, and I don't want to see that happen for you, brother.
Stop right now, because you know that wishy-washy stuff is not what happens on KD Drummond NFL timeline. That has nothing to do with me. Don't lump me in. No.
I'm here for you.
Stop.
Listen, don't push me away.
Stop.
Me, man.
Stop it. Don't lump me in with some of these knuckleheads that flip-flop in the same argument that you're having with them, because that ain't me, bro.
I just poke it a bit.
Yeah, and I don't appreciate it. But my whole thing is this. Taco Charlton, I see the potential. I see what he could be. And my man Lando was probably the first one to say this and encapsulated the way that I truly feel about it. I think Taco Charlton has the chance, the opportunity to be a very impactful rusher. But because he's not a quickness speed guy, he has to learn technique in the NFL, which means he's a projection to me for next year and more rationally year number three. Whereas T.J. Watt has the skill set that he can impact things now. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to the Nats and the Dodgers, facing off to decide who's going to be the top seed in the National League playoffs. If you need it for the Cowboys' next game, home game against the Rams, you know where to go. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners of the Catch This Fade podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Cowboys today. That's promo code Cowboys for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Now, I will say this, because when I started blogging, I introduced myself as somebody that would take both sides of the coin and work them both out. I will say this.
Right.
Part of what I think JG's reason for not liking T.J. Watt, and you alluded to part of it earlier, was the fact that he had the knee issues, that his health concerns were there, is the fact that Dallas drafted two guys of the same build in DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, and both suffered injuries. And maybe he's looking at it and saying, you know what? We like what these guys do as far as the skill set they bring, being so light and so quick, but are they capable of withstanding the physical nature of playing defensive end and having their hand on the ground and stopping run plays? Because they can pass rush all day long. We know that teams play the nickel all the time. The Cowboys are a nickel like 65-70% of the time.
Yeah. Which is why Jalen Smith had so many snaps last week.
There you go. Now, with all of that said, I can easily see why they would say, we just don't want to take that risk. Take the guy that's solid, that can hold up against a run. But for my money, it's going to go down in history as a great mistake, because based on what they did in their 2016 draft, looking at the 2017 draft and the potential, it could have been a monumental two-year haul that honestly, I think the Cowboys are set up for the next decade anyway, but I think T.J. Watt at the top of that list for 2017, in addition to getting Jalen back and Tapper back and all the secondary guys that they got, it would have been a crowning draft class, and I'm disappointed that they didn't get it.
I appreciate this, Eliu, because you mentioned Tapper, right? So we both know that Tapper factored into their thought process because he was redshirted, and then, of course, Jalen Smith was redshirted, and Jalen Smith is an excellent, excellent pass rusher in blitz situations. He proved that at Notre Dame. They haven't, you know, unleashed him just yet, but it makes sense because they're kind of nudging him back in for the most part. But I think the Cowboys looked at it as, okay, we can either get T.J. Watt and pretend that we don't have Charles Tapper coming. We can pretend we don't have Jalen Smith coming, but let's focus on Tapper since he's a defensive end. We can pretend we don't have Charles Tapper coming, but in reality, they did have him coming, which essentially means that Tapper adds, technically speaking, to this draft class for the Cowboys. It's just like what we were saying prior to the picks going in. Okay, well, they had, what was it, 9 picks? Well, technically they have more because they got Tapper and Smith coming back. And all of that, to me, factored into why they didn't go T.J. Watt when you add into that, like we talked about, health concerns. Yes, Watt has a tremendous skill set. I've said it before. I will say it again. However, I wish him the best, but we don't know yet if his body can hold up on the NFL level. One game does not dictate that. So we will see over the course of time. You believe it will be one of the more monumental draft mistakes. I disagree. I believe they got Taco because he fits what they're trying to do, and then they factored in the fact that Smith was coming back. They factored into the fact that Charles Tapper was coming, and then it all made sense. This is a scouting team led by Will McClay who has more than proven himself.
Yeah, and he wanted T.J. Watt. Hey, that's what it comes down to. You just made my point for me. This is Will McClay's show, and he wanted T.J. Watt. And for my money, you pay the guys to do the job that you paid them for. You want Will McClay on that table, standing up, dancing to Jay, whatever you want to call it. But if he's telling me that T.J. Watt is the guy to go to, then T.J. Watt wins, Will McClay wins, and sorry, J.G., you go out there and you coordinate practice, and you do all of this kind of stuff that you're really good at, and let the evaluation of prospects come out of college
stay with the college scouting department. That is the kind of thought process that got the Cowboys in trouble when Gold Jacket Jerry refused to release the reins and become
a
brain trust.
How dare you compare those two situations?
I'm simply saying it's a brain trust, correct? That's the design of it. So everyone has their job they're paid to do. However, there's still going to be input put in from each one as they meet to the table or at the table. If Will McClay wanted T.J. Watt, and I can respect that because I will say it again. This is not Patrick Walker knocking T.J. Watt. The kid is a stud. Bruh. This is, in fact, Patrick saying that he has concerns about the kid. I wish him the best. I think he will be great in the league, but I don't believe that when it's all said and done that everyone will look back at 2017, compare the two, which is unfortunately going to be the case since they're now tethered forever, by, you know, KD Drummond and, you know, Joey Jackson. But anyway, I don't believe everybody's going to look back and regret the Taco pick, even though or even if T.J. Watt does become, an all-pro or a multi-pro bowl or anything. I wish him the best. I just don't see 10 years down the road everybody looking back like, oh, man, that Taco Charlton pick was such a bust. I think it suits what they needed it to suit, and that's why he's going to do well, but everyone needs to temper their expectations because Watt is a starter in Pittsburgh. Charlton has much more to go through, much more to learn as far as the gauntlet is concerned. Like I said earlier, you got DeMontre Moore, you got David Irvin, look at Tyrone Crawford.
Yeah, you said all that earlier. Yeah. So that's why I'm going to cut you off, because you said all that earlier, and I have to what you just said. You just compared the Jerry Jones as the lone voice in the war room to the Will McClay era, and we have to stop the podcast off of that because I rolled my eyes so hard that I popped a freaking blood vessel. I cannot continue anymore. You just threw in the towel. You conceded the argument by comparing the Will McClay era of scouting.
Listen, Just because it went over your dreads doesn't mean I was incorrect. It just means that it went over your dreads. So what's going to happen is we'll go ahead and wrap up the podcast, and then you text me some point tomorrow and say, you know, you got a point like you did last time.
That'll never happen. The same way you took the L when the Game of Thrones comparisons happened and you came up with that garbage about Joffrey, the same exact way I dominated this one. And
relax,
all the listeners know.
Relax, Littlefinger. The sentence has been passed.
All of the listeners know who won this episode of Catch This Fade. Go on Twitter, at KD Drummond NFL. And, of course, you can find Pat on the loser's bracket over at Voice of the Star. Let us know who won this debate. I know which way it's going to go because people love who the Cowboys have, and they want to throw up their allegiance. And I have no problem with that. I am rooting for Taco Charlton to have 15 sacks and come back and say, KD, you're a freaking idiot. It was always me. Screw TJ Watt. I can't wait for that day to happen. But until it does, y'all gotta catch this fade. We out of here.
Gone.
It's too late. Keep going. Sweater, and I ain't talking about a Cool J. You a big L, and I ain't talking about Cool J. See me at the airport, at least 20 Louis. Treat me like the prince, and it's my sweet brother Noomsay. Group to say I'm too choosy. Take him to the show and talk all through the movies. Tell she want diamonds, I took her to Ruby Tuesdays. If we up at Friday, I still have it my way. Gone.
We strive at home.
Gone.
I ride on chrome.
Y'all don't want no pride from me. What you rappers could get is a job for me. Maybe you could be my intern. An intern, I'll show you how I cook up summer in the winter. Aaron love the raw dog, when will he learn? Caught something on the usher, till he had to let it burn. But he already got the return. Arguing over babysitters like, it's your turn. Damn, yeah, it'd be stupid to ditch you. Even your superficial raps is super official. Rock pastel with Gucci on. With TVs in the ride, throw a movie on. Said he couldn't rap, now he at the top with Doobie Long. Cause the dookie's on any song that they do me on. Gone.
We strive at home. I ride on throne.
We strive at home.
We strive at home. Killer, I ride on chrome. Knock, knock, who's there? Killer Cam. Killer who? Killer Cam. Hustle up, grind the gorilla. True up my chinchilla. Boop, boop. You ever dealt with a dealer? Well, here's the deal, ma. We going to the dealer. Boop. No concealing, no ceiling. I don't need a roof. Act up, get out. I don't need to boop. Boop. Be going damn tough luck. Dag, dag, dag. Niggas still doing puff, puff, pass. Pull the truck up fast. And I tell